Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for giving us joy in our hearts, Lord, and showing us your Word, Lord, and instilling your works inside of us, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for providing for our every needs, Lord, and being our joy, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we dive into the Word and continue our study in 2 Thessalonians. This morning, we are beginning chapter 2, and we're going to cover the first 10 verses. So could I get a volunteer to read that section of Scripture, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception, among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, amen to that. All right. As is our custom, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and ask any questions that you have. So who would like to begin?
I would.
All right, honey.
So I kind of closed off the last episode touching on this. Mm-hmm. And that the wonderful day that we are expecting and waiting for as the culmination of our salvation is meeting the Lord in the air, if we're still living, alive on the earth when he comes back, or to even if we fall asleep in Christ, we are expecting and looking forward to being raised up with him to meet him in the air. This should be an exciting verse of Scripture for any believer. I remember...
Which verse or just a section of
this section of Scripture.
Amen. Yes.
As I was a younger believer and earlier in my walk with the Lord, this used to terrify me. And thinking about the Antichrist and all of that stuff. But where I left off on the last episode was that if you desire to know the truth, if you desire to truly be in line in fellowship with the Lord, he'll make sure that you get there. When it talks about the coming of the lawless one with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, don't be concerned about that being you per se. Your focus should be to have your heart towards the Lord, because the only people who are deceived are the ones who are willing to be deceived. You guys have heard me say this in our private time in our home life. This is something that I teach you all regularly. The deception is not because he's so convincing. The deception is because their hearts are already positioned and prone to be deceived. Those who love the truth, which is a distinguishing factor, and want to know the truth above all, right? And we know that truth is God. They will see it because the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit will reveal it to them, whether they actually physically hear it, look upon it, or anything else. And they actually, according to Revelation, they won't marvel at this wicked, this lawless Amen. One, because it's a marker in their heart, meaning their inward man, that they desire the Lord. They love the truth and they love the word of God. They love the Lord. And because he's able to keep us, the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee, as a seal for our inward person to make sure that we get to the Father and we arrive safely to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have nothing to be concerned about or worried about. All we need to do is put our focus on him and just recognize how to distinguish between one and the other. The people who love to be deceived, they are willing to say a man is a woman and a woman is a man. They're willing to say, oh, perversion is the same thing as what God set up, or they're willing to say there's more than one way to get to the Father, or they're willing to compromise into any other kind of lie. They're willing to say your dress looks nice, even though they don't really think it does. So they don't hurt your feelings. If they're willing to indulge in lies anywhere else, then they're subject to be deceived. But if they're lovers of the truth and they're willing to let God minister to them to know how to answer each one, they will not have an issue with this, because Holy Spirit will guide them. Because what does he do? He guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. Who knows better than our Lord and Savior who the lawless one is and the time that he will be able to be revealed than our Lord and Savior? And since he knows all those things, he will also share with us what we need to know so that we are able to be protected. So this is actually really exciting. Amen. To see it in that way. No, do I relish the lawless one? No, but I'm more focused on my Lord and Savior, and his return. Amen to that. So that's exciting to me.
Well, Mommy, you brought up an interesting point of that we shouldn't be trying to focus on the Antichrist or trying to be wondering whether or not we're going to fall for that, as in whether or not we're good enough.
We're going to pass the test is what you mean. Because that's kind of a test. Are you going to take the mark of the beast? Are you going to get compromised in this way so that you can eat, you can be entertained, you can live in society or whatever it is, or even saving your own natural life? Are you going to be able to pass the test is the big question that most believers have when it comes to this. Go ahead, honey.
And how the Lord, Mommy, also brought up talking about how that it's those who love deception, they love to be deceived.
Mm-hmm. They want to be deceived. They're willing. They're open to it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Mommy. And the Lord was also reminding me of how that we should be constantly moving forward inside of God. The only way, as in, we should be constantly allowing the Lord to mature us. Mm-hmm. If we stay stagnant, we're going to be classified inside that group of those who want to be deceived. Let me explain that. As in, God, our obedience to God is moving forward inside what he has told us to do and following his commandments. Mm-hmm. And by following his commandments, we are showing our love for him. Amen. And consequently, we're able to grow inside of God. But if we're being disobedient, as and that we're willing to settle for something, a subpar relationship with God, mm-hmm. or a secondary relationship, which is disobedience, because that is not what God wants. Now, there is a difference between allowing the Lord to develop you where you're at spiritually as you're a baby, but it's not. And that is based on your exposure to what God is doing for you, but you're willing to receive. That is much different than you're unwilling to receive because you want to stay at that level, which is what Paul is talking about here. And going back to the previous section and also back to 1 Thessalonians, Paul has been talked about how that they're willing to go forward inside of God. And he's building on the foundation of what he said inside of 1 Thessalonians, which was ultimately in 1 Thessalonians, which was ultimately making sure that they were actually moving forward. And if we are settling for less, then there's going to be an occupancy, as in it's going to be unoccupied with a room. The Lord has filled it up. For a room, you don't throw everything in there at one time. It's impossible to do. As in, everything does not go through the door at one time.
Mm-hmm. It's like piece by piece.
Yes.
Okay.
and how that the living room or the furniture has to be built. Once taken in, it doesn't just teleport in there. Okay. It's not instantaneous.
You might have to put the legs on the couch. You might have to assemble some of it to after you get it through the door, because it may not fit through the door in its fully assembled size or shape. Okay?
Yes, and if all we have inside that space is a beanbag or a bean on the floor, there's still empty space. But if we allow God to continually move through us and is able to carry his life through us, as in, for an example, a fish takes in water and gets the oxygen from the water.
Uh-huh.
If there's no water current or if there's no oxygen in it, that fish is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
The same ultimately applies for a Christian. If we're unwilling to allow God to develop us, and if we won't allow God to constantly bring in new teachings to us and make known to us his mysteries, it's not going to do us any good, because we're going to eventually fall away. And the way we remedy that is by first submitting our lives completely to God. And by submitting our lives completely to God, it's not trying to give him a small corner, then trying to allow God to build up to the whole house and trying to tell God to earn our trust. It's giving ourselves completely to God. As in, we give God everything we have, and we're not trying to hold back.
Mm-hmm. Giving him full access to shape us and to mold us into who he wants us to be.
Oh, amen. I just wanted to, I was looking for a scripture. Perhaps you guys could be of assistance to me, because I'm having a difficulty finding it. But it was talking in Revelation about, my best paraphrase is, the ones that survived, like, the tribulation, the second death would have no power over them.
I know what that is.
Oh, it right.
It is, Revelations 20. Verse 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who is part of the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Thank you, Promise.
You're welcome.
Okay, so yes, that was the scripture I was looking for. And what that has to do with what we're reading in 2 Thessalonians is, again, about that great prize. We're not, as you said, Mommy and Promise, it's not we're trying to out-juke the devil. We're trying to make sure that we're on the right side and we just stay committed and focused to the Lord, because our prize is that crown in the end, is that white garment, is that ability to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Even if you are the one that had two minas and came back with two more, it's better than the one who had one and then had none.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama, you explained to me one day about the second death, because I had no idea what you were talking about and what that scripture meant. But you were saying that the second death was when Sheol was thrown into the lake of fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sealed up for eternity. Which means no one's going out and no one's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, our focus is to make sure that we are sealed up in the second life, if you will, the eternity side of things. and yeah. Instead of
having re-entered the heavenly community.
Yes. Exactly.
So the second, or eternity in heaven with the Lord, not away from him.
That's right, Dad. And then going to what you told me about that too, Dad, was it's not the same as when you're coming in maimed. I mean, Jesus himself said it's better to enter into life eternal maimed than having 2 feet that take you straight to Sheol. And at the same time, he would prefer that you don't maim yourself with sin. And that's, again, coming back to 2 Thessalonians. We're in a time, there's no time to play games. There's no time to dabble with sin and go, I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out, I'm on base and I'm off base now. Mm-hmm. Get on base and stay on base and keep going and run your race. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, but not really. We have such time. The time for the Lord's return is coming very, very, very quickly, and we don't have time to play games and to, as Dad says, pity-pat around with sin and engaging with the adversary. We should be solely focused and solely trained on what the Lord is speaking to us and what he's asking us to do, because we are judged for every good and wrong work that we do. And should we leave sin unrepented on the books, it's going to be a sad day for whoever that is. So the encouragement that the Lord has spoken to me, and I want to pass on to you, our listener, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ, is to remain faithful to the Lord, because you are in a covenant relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Just like you're expected to remain faithful to your wife or your husband when you're in a committed relationship, marriage.
That's I would what say I mean. This is even more so.
Absolutely.
Yes, even more so.
But cling to him as though your life depends on it, because it does.
It does. Your eternal life mm-hmm. depends on it.
Amen. Natural and eternal. Amen. Yes.
So there's, I love that you brought that up, Layla, about the encouragement side of things, because it's absolutely required. And in what we're reading here, this section of scripture, the Lord through Paul is also encouraging those in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. Right?
Yes.
Verse 2, right? Do not be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. And then he says in verse 3, there's the warning, right? Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Right?
Yes.
Yes.
And I was reminded of, well, exactly what he writes to the Galatians. It really starts in verse 6.
Of what chapter?
Of chapter 1. Galatians okay. chapter 1. It's really starts in verse 6, but I'll read. It's really 7 and 8 is the key point, but I'll read 6 through 8. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Actually, I'll read verse 9 as well. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So he encourages them, but then also there is a warning, and that warning still applies to us today, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't matter if an angel shows up, never mind a letter or something that clearly appears to be forged here, mm-hmm. right? As this, what Paul is mentioning, mm-hmm. that someone tried to dissuade them, deceive them, into believing something contrary to what has been taught. Mm-hmm. Taught and preached, or preached and taught to them. Mm-hmm. Right? The love of God, right? There's nothing that can take us away, right? That's also right. written in scripture. Death, nor angels, nor anything mm-hmm. can separate us from the love of God. Mm-hmm. So let us not separate ourselves. Let's not be the one that closes the door to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Climbs out of his hand, and in so doing departs, and then spends an eternity separated from him mm-hmm. as a result of that choice and that decision. So he's warning them, but he's also encouraging them at the same time. Don't do this thing, or said and more in the way the Lord speaks, remain with the Lord, mm-hmm. stay with him, right? Let's choose to remain with the Lord now and for all eternity. That's literally what we're here on earth to do. This is the choosing ground. He's encouraging them and us, stand with the Lord. Continue to wage war as the Lord's army on behalf of the kingdom of heaven, for the Lord, him being our commander in chief, us moving forward, obeying his command, which demonstrates our love toward him. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, this is still a military of sorts, right? Yes, we are kings and priests, but we're also called to be his warriors.
Yes,
so let's not forget that. And Paul, or the Lord through Paul, is encouraging here the Thessalonians to continue to press in and do the thing that they have been doing from the moment they came into relationship with the Lord. Waging war, standing firm, being steadfast or found faithful, as the Lord has also called us to do. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. We're going to pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness and your forgiveness, Lord. We repent of any sin that we've done, Lord, and we forgive anybody who we have ought against, Lord, and we ask that you forgive them as well, Lord, and let them grow free. Lord, we thank you for your blessing upon our lives, Lord. We thank you for the equipping that you've given us spiritually and naturally, Lord, so that we're able to stand and not just barely stand on weak and shaking knees, Lord, but we're fully strengthened and we're fully capable and able to do everything you called us to do. Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given us, the light that we have, Lord, so that we see clearly where we're going, Lord, that you have placed our feet on that path, Lord, and that you're here to shepherd us and guide us, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.